Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. John, I don't know if you heard this or not. I know you mentioned it before, but now it's coming to pass. The Lord is so merciful, and he's so merciful that sometimes, even though he says he's going to do something, he just may all of a sudden say, I'm not going to do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got to be totally open, but you got to tell people what he told you to tell them, despite the fact that he may change his mind because he's so good. And he's looking for opportunities to not do what he says he has to, like any loving father would, you know, really don't want this to happen. Mm-hmm. And, but, you know, sometime back we've been saying, you know, the finances are, you can't keep on borrowing money and think that, you know, you're going to be able to survive that if you're borrowing more than you actually have. And like 46 cents, I believe, off every dollar they're saying is borrowed money. Borrowed. Wow. Can you imagine that? If you imagine that every dollar that you have in your wallet, in your bank, 46% of it's coming, it's borrowed money, which means there's interest due on that, plus the money's going back.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Well, that's huge. And when you're talking, you know, $16 trillion, interest on that's enough to, you know.
Right.
That's just major. But then you say, okay, here it is. So it's happening. This is what I'm talking about. It's happening. And you're fixing to see, I believe, a huge unfolding. They're reporting now on Fox News this morning that when you think about the time it takes to be able to put together the idea, when they come up with the negotiation for the fiscal cliff, which they're saying is January the 1st, the truth is this weekend is really the last day for them to come through with something, because it's going to take them that long to be able to put it together. So Fox News is reporting this morning, if they don't work it out this week, we're going to hit the cliff.
All right.
And I truly believe, you know, that President Obama's created a huge government, that more taxes is something that he would appreciate, to be able to run this huge government. This is a huge taking over medical treatment for all of Americans and all these different things. So it's not going to be necessarily a negative thing. As a matter of fact, when I'm watching the demeanor of our president when he's in negotiations, it's almost like, you know, somebody that is unconcerned, but not only unconcerned, it's almost like a smile that's on his face saying, you know, we're just going to get through this stuff. And, you know, it's like, I've already won. This is the way it's going to go. And it's like, but doesn't the executive branch have equal power with the legislative branch? Yeah. And so aren't you supposed to work together? And didn't we vote both of you in? And aren't you both of you supposed to work this out? And how can one branch do away with the other branch? Because the way that it's designed to keep one branch, according to the citizenship test,
right.
from being too powerful, is that we have a the balance of powers, equal powers, and those different things. But it's like being totally ignored. So here it comes. Here it comes. It's reported this morning by the chief of police in Camden, New Jersey, that they are going to fire every police officer. They're going to, every one of their police officers that are union police officers, they're going to fire them. Just totally fire them. They're going to let them all go. And they're going to begin to rehire new officers who are not in the union.
Yeah.
Wow.
And these present union officers, unionized officers, that they have a 30% absentee rate. 30%. Not only are they undermanned, and they're undermanned by police protection because they're paying so much money to these union police officers that they can't afford to actually pay for more officers. So there's less officers on the street. And then the officers they do have, because it's union, that they're actually 30% of them aren't even showing up.
Wow.
Yeah. I think the police, chief of police, whoever the head police officer in that city said that they have better hours than bankers now. They don't come.
Well, their mindset. I mean, I believe the president of the union, at least somebody that was an officer there, was saying this morning on Fox News. He said, "Well, we believe the reason why they pay us so much money is because they send us to an impoverished people, that the crime's so high, they're just paying us well to do what nobody else would do." Basically, is what he was saying. But then understand this. That the murder rate in the United States right now, the murder rate per 100,000 people is like a little over 4 persons per 100,000.
Wow.
Well, the murder rate in Camden, New Jersey is just at 84, I believe, 84, according to Fox News, 84 per, no, according to the chief of police of Camden, 84 per 100,000.
Wow.
Which is equivalent to a third world nation or Honduras.
Ooh. Wow.
But the thing is that the unions are keeping you, if you're in Camden right now, that they're actually keeping you from having enough officers on the street to be able to put, to do, and so what's going to happen when they put, when they're able to get rid of, and we're going to talk about it in a minute, but the worst thing that could ever happen to the unions is happening across the land, and I'm sure they're shocked because they put everything behind our president to get him in office, and, you know, things are happening totally different than what they probably thought, you know, bipolar type things are happening. But in their interview on Fox News this morning, they're talking about the crime rate is so high because the officers, not enough officers on the street. And so the journalists are concerned because a lot of people that you see in on major news areas, you know, live in New Jersey, and they go swing over to New York to be able to do it. And they're saying, well, you know, we live in there. We're kind of concerned about this. And they're saying, well, no, you're actually going to have more officers on the street. And they're going to leave the union officers on until like around spring as they're progressively, like the county's going to hire and create this whole new department. And,
county force.
Yeah, and you think about it, it's like, why would you do that? And, of course, they said, well, what about the pension plans for the officers? They're going to get their pensions, the chief said, but it's going to be non-union workers. And so here we are. I mean, the opposite of what you thought would be, you know, taking place is when the unions got behind, I mean, the unions put our president in office. And so in addition to that, you know, it's happening because they don't have the money. They don't have the money to pay the police officers. And listen, it's important for people to hear things like, you know, you're talking about John in California, what they said, lock your doors and get your guns out because there's not going to be the police out here.
Right. Yeah.
That this is just the beginning. It's going to happen all over the land.
Just the beginning.
Mm-hmm. It's going to happen all over the land. And
it's happened in Detroit. It's happened in California. It's happened in Camden. And it's like, my goodness.
Well, California is so totally, you know, broke. It's just a matter of time. And this thing is that the people that are working are basically riding around. They're not, but just the mindset of it. Mm-hmm. In limousines, right. Which means if you stop your limousine living in your limousine workplace, then you can afford some more people to work. But people say, I'm not willing to give up all my, you know,
luxury
overpaidness for this particular job to be able to save this country. But then, in addition to that, that's police officers. And then you look at Michigan, you know, with the governor today, I believe, or at least this week, is they're passing and should pass, he says, that the bill hits his desk, they're going to pass the right to work law for their state, which disempowers unions. And what it means, basically, as we talked about earlier this week, that, you know, you can choose to pay your dues or not. You don't have to be in a union. If you're a union state, that if a union represents your company or your government agency that you're in, you have to join the union. You have to pay your dues. Mm. But when you're a right-to-work state, you don't have to. The authority drops with the employee. They're the ones that determine what their future is and what they're going to do. And this is powerful because they're finding out that the reason why Michigan's going this way, and I believe it's about 26 states that have the right-to-work law, that's where businesses are going to. I mean, why would you want to start a business? You know, why would you want, I mean, if you knew in advance that your children were going to tell you how to raise them, they were going to tell you how much to pay their allowances, and they were going to rule your life forever, why would you have them? Mm-hmm. You know, wow. If you were going to have a business and hire employees, and your employees were going to take you over, and you were going to be working for them, I don't understand why you would even want to go in business. And the thing is, what they're finding out is, in a right-to-work state, that businesses are just migrating to states that give the right to the employee and let them decide. If they want to be in a union, they can be in a union. If they want to pay dues, they can pay dues. They can, or not.
And well, what's happening in Texas? I mean, they have one of the strongest economies in the world, and all the companies are going to Texas because of that.
And it's the total opposite. It's a bipolar opposite of what I'm sure the unions expected when they elected the president. And they're losing their power. The power, it's not the power to tax, but when you can force people to pay dues and the government gets behind it, in some instances, the government collects the dues, which is just, what happened? Anyway, so they're losing the power to tax. If the government, for example, lost the power to tax, they would lose their power. They wouldn't have any power. Mm-hmm. Well, the union now, who had the power to force people to pay dues, they're losing their power to do. This is a significant thing. If every workplace that you unionized forced every employee there to pay you a certain amount of money every single month, that's huge. That's like billions of dollars that was coming in. And now it's actually the opposite taking place. I mean, they're surrounding the Capitol even this morning protest because the governor says if the bill hits my desk, and it's going to hit it, I understand, because I believe it's a conservative Republican Congress, I think that's there, that's and what they're really wanting, they want jobs. They want, they're trying to bring, it's crazy. It's like the people that have jobs don't care about the 23 million who don't have jobs.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that's not going to work long. Yeah, that's not going to work long where the people without jobs are going to say, listen, you need to balance this out a little bit. So the unions, what you're going to do, you're going to start seeing, I'm telling you now, the unions are not going to take this laying down.
Uh-uh.
They're not. They didn't take a Wisconsin laying down. They sent all their forces to Wisconsin when they were doing the same thing, when the governor Scott, I believe, was doing, was it Scott?
Scott.
Scott Walker was doing the very same thing, and it passed, and they were shocked even with all their money. They're not going to, this is huge for them to begin to lose this kind of power over the businesses. And so you're going to start seeing, and that's when some of the things the Lord has shown us, people hitting the streets. You're going to see that Guy Fawkes type thing where this, you know, protesting against, you know, authority and government, and they're just not going to take it laying down because they were actually, why the right to work states were just kind of oblivious to this. These union states were literally owning the state, owning the legislature branches. They were owning the companies and corporations. And I can't believe, I don't know why in the world, you know, any company would want to even go into a unionized state, because it's going to guarantee the destruction of your, eventually, the destruction of your company, the end of your product, or the overpricing of your product where people are not going to be able to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you think about it. And it's just, you know, just because somebody's been there in seniority, they automatically get paid more versus, and they're just, I mean, they just reported on several employees sitting out on their break. And one of the auto workers with the auto workers union, they're part of the auto workers union, were sitting out smoking marijuana and drinking alcohol on their breaks. And they just ruled in favor of these guys to be able to come back in.
Unbelievable.
And it's just amazing what, and it's just not, everything's that way now because the church is that way, by the way, because it's the church has turned out that way, you know, where we turned away from God. You know, what's God's news behind the news? That's the order of the church. The church is out of order.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have, you know, hirelings being hired instead of, you know, apostles leading the church. And you have wives leading husbands and children leading families. You have, everything's just upside down. And the world is just reflecting, you know, what the church has allowed it to be able to take place. And but we're going to see that. They're not going to take that line down. So I want to encourage you, you know, to be prepared when you're starting to see this fiscal cliff, which means financial, not physical, but fiscal, so financial cliff. Understand the Lord's already begun to talk to us about that. And Fox News is reporting, really, this weekend is the date. And it doesn't look like there's any deal due. And and understanding how President Obama sees this country, sees it, he just sees it differently. You know, people have, you got to be open to the fact that people don't see things the way you see things. And if you can understand how they see things, you can understand them and understand how to work with them. He just basically is a socialist and sees government needs to be there to provide for the people. If you look at the injustices that's happened in America, you can see why somebody would lean towards socialism who is coming from an oppressed state and has seen people oppressed just because. You know, we're not going to get all into that deep history that's right there. So that's this weekend. That's this weekend. And how prepared is everybody? Don't think much. Don't think much at all. And so, you know, talk about a fiscal cliff this particular any day now. But think about it. There's a financial Armageddon coming to America, coming to the world.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just a bump in the road. Now, we've mentioned this, and I know that it's up. I think it's up over here. We're gonna talk about the prophetic dream that was given. But we're gonna, first I want to say, listen, there's a financial Armageddon that is coming, and you can find out more about it, and we're gonna play it in just a moment for you as well as I talk about it. But this fiscal cliff is just a bump. It's nothing compared to what's gonna happen. If you would have watched the Russia, when Russia was going through the same situation, they would call it a financial Armageddon, where one day the money was worth something, and then a few hours later, I remember them all in the streets, that it wasn't worth, you couldn't live the same lifestyle overnight. Overnight, It was like all this thing that you use for currency one day was worthless. It was totally worthless, and it just, it's hard to believe, because if you've been leaning on something for so long that it was going to work, that you would, you know, be able to do it, but it's just not going to work. It's probably 6 minutes. And the understanding that you need to be prepared. Realize right. that, and I like the way Rick Joyner with Morningstar Ministries said this, and this is basically how I felt the same way, that if Mitt Romney would have become the president, that means we just had more time to prepare for this financial Armageddon. That's all mm-hmm. it meant. And Armageddon, for those that don't know it, is an end time battle. It's a major thing. So somebody says Armageddon, that's like bad. It's like mm-hmm. it's like life as you know it financially is about to change.
The big one.
The big one. It's not the end of the world, but it is a change as you know it. And so Mitt Romney would have meant more time, but it still was going to happen. And if President Obama made it, and he did in the second election, that meant that we were out of time.
Mm-hmm.
We're out of time. And I totally, my spirit is in alignment with that. And seeing the response and seeing what's taking place with government right now, it's like they're just locked up. They're just locked up. They don't know. It's like God has locked their minds up in something as simple, you know, as
not rocket science here.
It's not rocket science. It's very simple. I mean, even the former mayor of New York, you know, Mayor Giuliani, you know, can explain to him a few little things. He knew nothing about economics, and he you know, said, listen, this doesn't make sense. If we raise taxes now, we'll have to do it 2 years later, and then 2 years later, and 2 years later. Yeah. Why don't we? And then he went the direction of gradually do a lot of expenditure cuts and then gradually begin to lower taxes, but do it very gradually. And right. next thing you know, all the debt was paid off, and they had a surplus. New York now.
Yeah, not just that, but it returned 600,000 people that were on welfare. They were able to get off of welfare and started working and empowering them and really helped them out. I think they wound up having a $3.5 billion surplus. You can't keep just raising. They said, I think Fox News was saying that if they raise the tax increases, it's enough revenue to take care of the federal government for 8 days.
Right. And you have to understand, then, this is what this means. First of all, our president, President Barack Obama, is an intelligent man. Mm-hmm. He is a constitutional professor. He's a lawyer. He knows what he's doing. He knows where he's going. He realizes it takes his time. It takes time to do it. He is fundamentally transforming the country to where he thinks it needs to be for whatever reasons. And it's happening right before our very eyes. And there's a reason why he's making these decisions or not making them and going the direction he's going. It looks like, John, go ahead. And I want you to tell us quickly, because we're coming to the end of the first hour, about this prophetic dream. Tell us about this prophetic dream about the economy.
Well, you know, I had this dream where I was headed to, I was actually in the workplace at work in the dream. And as I was walking, getting ready to go to my office, I saw that everyone was gathered around the television screen. And something was happening. There was some sort of breaking news that was occurring, but it was very, like, very real time, not what you see today where, you know, it's breaking news and they're telling you what the breaking news is going to be or what they think it's going to be. What I saw was a reporter that was on the New York Stock Exchange, and surrounding him were brokers who were all in their blue coats, and something, he was about to report something that was pretty huge. Everyone was just glued to the television screen. And so as he's getting ready to gather his thoughts, he says, when you come back, I don't want anyone to panic, but when I come back, I'm about to share something. And as I remember, you know, basically it's gonna be big. When he said that,
the reporter saying, get ready, here it comes, I'm about to tell you something.
Right.
Major. And everybody in the office, this is a huge office, they're all stopping and looking towards the television.
Correct.
And he's standing out in front of the New York Stock Exchange.
He's on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange.
Oh, my goodness.
Brokers standing still, not brokering. They're not doing business.
Oh, that's huge.
They're standing still, and they're surrounding him. And so that was a clue. So at that time, I already knew, since God had been speaking to us, I already knew what this was about. And so I just went to gather my stuff because I knew that it was about to drop. And
because God's already been speaking to us already, yeah. So you already had it in your spirit.
Right.
You're gathering your stuff while people are watching this thing on the news, while this guy's standing on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange about to tell us something huge that's going to change the world as we know it. Okay.
So as I'm leaving, I'm walking past the television screen. He begins to start talking, so I stop. And he says, I just want you to know that the world's going to be over as we know it in 6 minutes. And when he said this, I mean, there was just pandemonium broke out there at the workplace.
They believed
him. They believed him. They were just going nuts. And at that time, I just rose up and said, listen, you got to go. You got to, at that time.
VFN Torch. Baby, the VFN Torch.
I was saying, you need to go to the VFN Torch. Right. You need to go and get
which we have prophetic words listed there. You can go back and read these prophetic words. You go to VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com. Click on VFN Torch and go to, at the very top menu, it says prophetic words. And you can click on that. Go ahead.
And people were real responsive. They were, I said, listen, God told us about this. And I'm starting to share everything and downloading that everything that God already had told us. But see, listen, you need to go to the Torch. You need to go to the Torch. And so then I was leaving to get prepared to share with, you know, with the church. But, you know, in the dream, I knew that it was economic collapse. I knew that it's 6 minutes meant now, quick, rapidly. Also means like idols. And they're also there at the New York Stock. All the monies and Wall Street, everything was going to change. And I just knew in my spirit it was the coming economic collapse that God has been sharing that's coming.
Right. And that's exactly what. So this could be the domino that clicks it all off because it's going to be a reaction. But this is minor compared to what's going. We're going to be talking more about this in the extra hour. You've got to join us in the extra hour because we're going to talk about a vision the Lord gave me about the finances in America. And then we're going to talk about how to prepare for the financial collapse that's coming. Listen, it's not the end of the world, but it's the end of the world how you know it. From the physical cliff, that means the financial cliff, that what Fox News is reporting this morning is that all the time it takes to prepare it, once the decision or negotiation is made, really, it's not January the 1st. They're talking about it's this weekend. I mean, if it hasn't been decided by this weekend, it's pretty much going to hit. It's not going to happen in time. You really don't know. They're all playing games, but I know this. I know that this fiscal cliff is nothing but a bump in the road compared to what God's already shown us that they're calling it. This is what Fox News is calling it a financial, you know, Armageddon.
Right.
You know, basically this huge financial collapse of the world system, if not America's system. But if America, you know, catches a cold, they say other nations, you know, if America sneezes, other nations catch a cold.
Right.
If we catch a cold, they catch the flu. And because, I mean, it really fits into that particular city that they talk about in Revelation, how that she made everybody rich. Mm-hmm. And I mean, people can say what they want to. The truth is, you know, America's made a lot of people rich. We kind of fit in there. So what John was just sharing with us, and you can catch that in the first hour, was how God had given him a prophetic dream showing him that this man is standing, this news reporter standing in the New York Stock Exchange, on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. He was in his workplace. Everybody's mesmerized watching these TV news as they're preparing to say, listen, I'm about to tell you something that's going to change the world as you know it. And in 6 minutes, that there was going to be a financial collapse. And it's all been puffed up now. The reason why things are happening now, we're borrowing money from China. We're shoving it in. The jobs we're getting are really government jobs. The unemployment rate for America is like 7.75 or something, but for the government, it's like 2.3, the unemployment rate, because they're hiring everybody. Mm-hmm. And so it's basically an artificial lift that's taking place to the economy, and that's going to be just pulled out from under us. And so this financial collapse is coming. The question is this, and let me tell you what happened, you know, the vision the Lord gave me. You can find out more about these on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the menu at the top. You'll see prophetic words, I believe it is, and then that will lead you to all the different prophetic words that we and others have been hearing from what the Lord is saying. But in this vision the Lord had given me, and it was just like a day vision, I just saw it, that all of a sudden I was just watching all the paper money like dollar bills or whatever, that was being sucked off the face of the earth. Imagine just there's money hidden behind crevices and cracks and behind walls and whatever. And this vacuum was taking place in the heavenlies, you know, so strong that it was just sucking the money out from under all these hidden places. And you could see all this money flapping and coming up. And since it was like in one particular area, it looked like a pyramid because it was a vacuum area, was like in one area. And it was all being sucked to that one area. So you imagine this huge looking pyramid that if you get far away from it, it looks like a pyramid. You get close, it's just a whole bunch of, you know, paper money going up into this vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly the whole pyramid of money that's being sucked out the earth turns into fire, and it just gets it just burns up. I mean, mm-hmm. it's a mountain of fire.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it stayed there, and all of a sudden the vision stopped. And I mean, just in the logical sense, I meant paper money, they're tolerating as long as they can people who don't want to go digital, you know, right. But they really would rather go digital. If you work at a bank, you know, you don't really deal with numbers. You don't really deal with money. You're actually just moving zeros and ones around. You're moving, you know, transactions of computer entries.
I don't know if you knew this. I didn't know this. I just found this out. Those that work in the bank, let me know. But if you went to go cash a bank, banks don't actually carry a whole lot of cash in them. If you're going to, you know, cash a really big check, I didn't have a really big check to cash. Cash
oh, my big, goodness. Big did you cash you know? That $1 million check?
Did you
send your limousine driver in to do it, or did you go in yourself?
No. You got to call the bank in advance, and they have to order that money. They have to order it.
Wow.
So that they can, it gets dropped off to them, and then they release it. You know what I'm saying? When they come in to cash a check.
Yeah, I was talking to some local banks about the financial collapse and different things, and one of the banks was being honest as we started talking, because they actually called everybody together and their national whatever, and they were trying to charge for things they didn't charge before because they were preparing for, you know, this unexpected thing that's about to hit to all the banking system. And as she talked more and more, she finally ended with the truth is, we don't even know we don't even know if we'll make it through this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and so the question was, you know, people are going to come. This is what you think is going to happen. You think it's going to look a little shaky. You're going to squeeze in a little news between your ESPN. And you're going to overhear a conversation at the water cooler. And you're going to realize, I better go get my money out of the bank. You know, your $50 or your $5,000 or whatever. And you're thinking you're going to go down like you always go down to get money out of the bank. But they're not going to let you get it. They're going to close the doors. They're going to close the doors, first of all, because like John said, the money's not there, so they can't just give you money.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be ordered and migrated around. Secondly, they want things to cool down, because if you take their money, it's like taking blood out of a person. The bank disappears, because it's like the Christmas movie from way back when that everybody watches over and over again. I forget this angel, and what's the name of it?
Is it Miracle on 34th Street?
No. It's a Wonderful Life.
It's a Wonderful Life.
That was one of those old movies.
Yeah. And they realize, you know, no, we don't have your money here. Your money is in Mr. Smith's house.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody, no, in your money, Mr. Whoever, you know, is in so-and-so's business. And we don't have your money here. Your money's in, you know, and they're realizing how banks work. And it was being lent out. And in 1929, when the financial crisis happened, everybody began to just you know, believe it or not, the Knickerbocker Bank loaned more money than they had, and caused, yes, you know.
They did that?
Go figure. We loaned China to people. You know what I'm saying? We've made some major stuff. And so...
And planes.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, so here we are at this point that this financial collapse is coming. This could be the straw that breaks the camel's back, this one particular small crisis, because there's so many other things lined up, and there's so many... things tied into it. There's like three particular wealthy people reported by Blaze TV that says that they have billions of dollars of money in the economy, and they just kind of easily shift it around, and they can take down the country by just pulling their money out of a particular market. Of course, wow. China can call it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can start calling their debt, and that's what happens right now. I don't know which particular country. I don't know if it was Chile or one particular country was in debt. And their ship pulled up to a port somewhere, and they took the ship. They just took the ship.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And that's what you'll start happening. They'll start taking America's submarines. They'll start taking things that we owe money. You know, China could have a military overnight by just collecting, calling our debt.
Hmm.
But either way, listen, a financial crisis is coming. We've been talking about it. The reason why we're here on VFN Radio and VFN TV, which you can watch these prophetic teachings and what to do, is that's why we're here, to tell you about them. So we wanted to make sure, because Ezekiel 17 says, if I don't tell you what he told me, then if something happens to somebody that I could have told, then that person's blood's on my hands. But if I do tell them and they hear and they believe God and they repent, then they make it and they survive. But if I do tell them and they go, I'm not going to believe it anyway, and they continue on what's going on, that they will suffer for their sin, but their blood won't be on my hand. And so this is one of the driving forces of what we're doing is obeying God and getting this word out. And listen, there's a storm being fashioned by God that's being unloosed on this land. No matter what people tell you, there's a sword being sent against this land. It's a storm being fashioned by God. The purpose of it is to bring us to a place of humility and repentance, to turn back to Him. We will turn back to Him. I don't know how we'll be walking. I don't know how we'll be looking, you know, but, you know, we will turn back. God's people will turn back. And the world can survive without America, but the church, you know, will survive through this. So the question is this, you know, with this financial collapse and what's taking place, and it's amazing how many people, despite what we're looking at, still refuses to believe, you know, even with these, the unions right now, when they're demanding more money, when it's their demands for money already that's causing the entire city that they live in to crash and burn, they still demand more money. And it's like, don't you understand? You're taking our oxygen. Everybody else is going to die if you keep taking. It's like people just still take. And I think about, you know, the Jews all the way up until the time that they were in the concentration camps, what they thought was a shower, and they were fixing to take a shower, and they took their clothes off. People were still believing that this is just going to be a shower. They had no choice because, well, the evil things that were going on, and they were taking their clothes off to take the shower, thinking water was going to come out, and instead gas came out and began to kill them by the thousands. And it was just horrific. And if people just want to believe what they want to believe, listen, believe God. Understand that according to George Bono, I don't know if it's 19% or at least 19% or less, are that call themselves believers are reading their Bible, which means, this is what this means. It means those are the ones that possibly know what's going on. But really reading and studying the Word, that number is probably more like 3% of those who are actually tapping into and understanding this is what God does. He does this. He doesn't change. He's just how He does things. And we have some real difficult times coming our way, and you can be prepared for it. And so the question is, with all this taking place, and you've heard it in the part of the first hour and now in the second hour, is this financial cliff is nothing compared to what's about to happen. And it could happen simultaneously. It could happen within a few months, a year. I don't think it's going to be, you know, too far out there. But you need to prepare, and you need to go to VFN TV and watch on VFN TV at VFNTV.com, prudent preparation. And I'd watch it like this. I'd watch it with a mindset like you just got off a ship that was sinking, and you're in a life raft, and you're floating around in this life raft, and you open up this little zipper pouch in there, and the zipper pouch is going to tell you everything you need to know how to survive in that life raft. Obviously, it's not everything that you're going to hear in prudent preparation, but it's going to tell you probably 120% more than you've ever been hearing at this point, to begin you to think, you know, outside the box, begin to abide with God. Understand that if God wanted, if God is designing this storm, fashioning this storm, and there's something that He wants from us, wouldn't it be wise to start spending time with Him so you could actually hear what, His voice and know what He wants you to do despite what anybody else is doing? Because God will protect those who are His, who are spending time with Him. And God knew this was going to happen. He told us. He shares in Amos, He says that He does not do anything unless He begins to share it with His people first, so they could actually share it with others, so that we could possibly repent before it even happens yet. And understand that believe God. Believe what He's saying right now. Don't believe the naysayers that would take you up to the very point of thinking you're fixing to take a shower, and all of a sudden the gas of a disastrous future pours all over you and your family. If you're living on the edge, listen, if only 3%, if not, let me say it this way, 97% of people who call themselves regular churchgoers who go to a gathering at least once every 2 weeks, according to George Barna, 97% of them are robbing from God. They're robbing from God, according to Malachi chapter 3. And it's not going to be good. It's not going to be good. When we look at the statistics of what's taking place with abortion and the innocent bloodshed that's taking place in America, listen, it's people that are saying that they are believers. It's for particular, it's broke down into the different denominations who are actually taking the life of a child. And that's innocent blood. I mean, it's not going to be good if we're already robbing from God. It's a financial crisis. There's going to be a process to go through. And if you turn to God, and go watch Prudent Preparation. Watch it just like you're that person on the Laugh Raft. And if nobody on the Laugh Raft is going to read it like you're going to read it, you need to read it and understand it and pray that God would speak to you. You need to go to iAbide, iAbide.org, and begin to start an abiding lifestyle with God. I mean, all the religious jargon that's been said, maybe you've been talking about a lot of religious jargon. Maybe you've been, you know, just kind of saw other people do it, so you've been doing it. And the reality is that you really don't know anything. You don't know. You just kind of taking what people are telling you instead of what God has made known to you in your spirit about how things really are. And you need to know. Mm. And God does not. God wants a personal relationship with you, not just for your salvation, but to be able to talk with you and guide you and direct you. And you need to know what His Spirit is saying to the church. You need to know this because much is going to depend on it. And this is how God delivers His people. He doesn't, you can read about it, and you know, He doesn't deliver His people from ignorance. You know, right. He doesn't, you know, He doesn't just say, you know, because you believe, you know, I'm going to just skip over something. He tells us to do something. I mean, even to the point when death angel was passing over Israel, they had to go, and they had, there's some things they had to do, some directions they had to follow. So when the death angel would come over, they would see that they followed the instructions of the Spirit of God, which was to not only put the blood over the doorpost, but they were to do something with the lamb before they had done. I mean, there was a whole process. Uh-huh. And when you read Revelation, he says, hear what the Spirit says to the church. Churches, and the thing is that if you hear what he says, then you do it, and then you make it, which means it's not enough to say you believe. You got to know him. You got to know him. Mm-hmm. You got to be able to hear his voice, and you got to be willing to follow what he tells you to do. And this is what he wants anyway. This is the whole purpose of entering into the family of God, which means an abiding relationship with God. So how you're going to make it, how we're going to make it, is God's going to speak to each of us, and he's going to give us directions in our abiding time, what's going to happen that day. You know, maybe when you always took left down this road one day, God's going to say, take a right, because at that point, provision's going to be there. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's going to multiply your food. You know, maybe he's going to give you wisdom on how to maybe store up some stuff to be able to feed somebody. You know, whatever he's going to do, he's going to do. But he's the one that does it. You're not going to be able to say, hey, I believe, therefore nothing's going to happen to me. Mm. I mean, you can try that. I mean, you can. I mean, if a train's coming your way, you can stand in front of it and say, I believe that the Lord will protect me from this train. But I personally believe, and we'll find out if you do that, and I don't recommend that, and I'm not suggesting that in any way, that you will find out that God's not going to stop that train, and you'll be able to discuss it with God a few seconds later, because you'll be standing in the throne room, and I've been, you know, talking to him about, you know, what were you doing? You know, and it's like faith without works is dead. And so you need to get in now. Mm-hmm. If you don't know Jesus, you need to know him, not know of him. You need to know him. You need to have a abiding relationship with him. You need to be his disciples. You need to hang out with people who hang out with God, who desire to follow him. And you got to begin to prepare. Prudent Preparation. Go to VFNTV.com and watch Prudent Preparation. You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the daily VFN radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.